chapter 34, Krishna continued. The snake Vidyadhara continued to answer to Sri Krishna that because I was very much puffed up for my exquisite beauty of bodily features, I derided at the ugly feature of the great sage Angirasa, and he cursed me on this account for my sinful thinking, and I became a snake. Now I consider that this curse by this sage was not at all a curse. It was a great benediction for me, because unless he would not have cursed me, and unless I would not have assumed the body of a snake, there was no chance of being kicked by your lotus feet and thus become freed from all material contamination. In our material existence, four things are very valuable to have birth in a decent family, and to become very rich, to become very much learned, and to become very much beautiful. These are considered to be material assets. Unfortunately, without Krishna consciousness, these material assets sometimes become the source of sinful life and degradation, like this Vidyadhara, who, in spite of his becoming a demigod and having a very beautiful body, he, due to his wrong behavior and false being puffed up, he was degraded to the body of a snake. Another instruction from this incident we can get, that those who are too much proud of a material asset, or envious of others, such living entity is degraded to the body of a snake. A snake is considered to be the most cruel and envious amongst their animals. And those who are human beings, at the same time envious of others, they are worse than the snake. The snake can be subdued or controlled by charming mantras and herbs, but a person who is envious, he cannot be brought into control by any means. The Vidyadhara snake continued to say, "My dear Lord, now as I think, have become freed from all kinds of sinful activities, I am asking your permission if I can go back to my abode, the heavenly planet." This means that persons who are very much attached to fruitive activities for being promoted to the comforts of higher planetary system cannot achieve their ultimate goal of life without being permitted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that less intelligent persons, they are made after achieving material benefits, and therefore they worship different kinds of demigods. But they actually achieve the benediction from the demigod, being permitted by Lord Vishnu, Krishna. Demigods have no power to benedict any person with any material profit. It is with the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that they can benedict their followers. Therefore, even if one is attached to material benediction, he can worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and ask from him material benediction. Krishna is completely able to give even material benediction. But the distinction of asking material benediction from the demigod and from Krishna is that, just like Dhruva Maharaj, he also went to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for some material benediction. But the result was that when he actually achieved the favor of the Supreme Lord and saw him, he was so satisfied that he refused to accept any material benediction. And therefore, the intelligent person, without asking or worshipping the demigods, should directly become Krishna consciousness, and if he has any desire for material benefit, he can ask from Krishna instead of asking any other demigod. So, this Vidyadhar was awaiting the permission of Krishna for going back to the heavenly planet. He began to say that now, because I am touched by your lotus feet, I am relieved from all kinds of material pains, and you are the most powerful of all mystics. You are the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the master of all devotees. You are the proprietor of all planetary systems. Therefore, I am asking your permission, and you may accept me as fully surrendered unto you. And I know it very well that persons who are constantly engaged in chanting your holy name become relieved from all sinful reactions. And what to speak of persons who are so much fortunate as being personally touched by your lotus feet. Therefore, I am sure that I am now relieved from the Brahmadanda, the curse by the Brahmin, and simply by your touching lotus feet and by your audience. In this way, the serpent Vidyadhar got permission, Lord Krishna, to go back to his home in the higher planetary system, and after receiving the order, he began to circumambulate the Lord, and after offering his respectful obeisances unto him, he returned to the heavenly planet, and thus Nanda Maharaj also became relieved from the imminent danger of being devoured by the snake. After this incident, the cowherd's men who came to execute their ritualistic function in the Ambika pool to worship Lord Shiva, they finished their business and prepared to return to Vrindavan. And while returning, they began to remember the wonderful activities of Krishna and talk about the incident of delivering the Vidyadhar, and they become more and more attached to Krishna. Now, they came to worship Lord Shiva and Ambika, but the result was that they became more and more attached to Krishna. Similarly, the gopis also worship Goddess Kaptayani to become more and more attached to Krishna. So, persons who worship demigods like Lord Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, for some personal benefits, they are condemned. As it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, that persons who are attached to worship demigods are less intelligent and they are lost of their real purpose of life. But here the cowherds men, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they are not ordinary men. Whatever they do it for Krishna. Similarly, if somebody worships any demigod, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, for getting more attachment for Krishna, then that is not against a devotional service. But if anyone goes to the demigod for some personal benefit, that is condemned. After this incident, sometimes in a very pleasant night, both Krishna and his elder brother Balaram, who were inconceivably powerful, went into the forest of Vrindavan, accompanied by the damsels of Brajabhumi, and began to enjoy each other's company. When all the young damsels of Braja were very nicely dressed and anointed with pulp of sandalwood decorated with flowers, and in this way, in the company of the girls, both of them began to sing very sweetly. At that time, the moon was on the sky, surrounded by the glittering stars, and the breeze was blowing, carrying the flavor of mallika flower, and the bamboo bees were mad after the flavor in search of honey. Taking this advantage of pleasing atmosphere, both Krishna and Balaram began to sing very melodiously, and the dancers became so much absorbed in that rhythmical song that they almost forgot themselves, so much so that their bunch of hair became loose and dress also became slackened, and their garlands from the neck began to fall down on the ground. When Krishna and Balaram were enjoying the company of the dancers of Braja so much absorbed, almost in madness, at that time in their midst one Jokha, associate of the Kubera, treasurer in the heavenly planet, appeared on the scene. This demon was named as Shankhasura because on his head there was a valuable jewel resembling the corn. As we learned from previous incidences that two sons of Kubera, being puffed up of their wealth and opulence, did not care even for Narad Muni passing that way. Similarly, this Shankhasura, also being puffed up of material opulence, thought that Krishna and Balaram were two cowherd boys, and they were enjoying the company of so many beautiful girls. In the material world, generally a person with great riches thinks that all beautiful women should be enjoyed by him. Similarly, this Shankhasura also thought that he belongs to the rich community of Kubera and his companions. So why Krishna and Balaram should enjoy the company of so many beautiful girls? He should come and take charge of them. In this way, he appeared before Krishna, Balaram and the damsels of Braja and began to lead away the girls toward the northern direction, commanding them as if he was their proprietor and husband, in spite of, in the presence of Krishna and Balaram. When the damsels of Braja was thus being taken away by force by the Shankhasura Jakha, they began to cry, taking the name of Krishna and Balaram for protection. And the two brothers immediately began to follow them. Both Krishna and Balaram took in their hands a big log of sallow wood and began to enthuse the gopis by saying, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. We are immediately coming to chastise this demon. In this way, both of them very quickly reached near the Shankhasura, and the Shankhasura, thinking them too powerful, were afraid of his life, and thus he left the company of the gopis and began to flee away in order to save his life. But Krishna would not let him go away in this way. He entrusted the gopis under the care of Balaram, and he began to follow the Shankhasura wherever he began to flee. Krishna wanted to take away the valuable jewel resembling conchite from the head of the demon Shankhasura. In this way, after following it a very little distance only, Krishna immediately struck the head of the Shankhasura with his fist and immediately killed him and took away the valuable jewel resembling the conchite. After killing the Shankhasura in this way, he came back and in the presence of all the damsels of Braja, he presented the valuable jewel to his elder brother Balaram with great pleasure. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purport of the 34th chapter in Krishna in the matter of killing the demon Shankhasura.